My bride is coming. Come on. Welcome to BC. Here we go. Good morning, beautiful.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Great to see you. Our friendly dog woke us up at 4 a.m. That was amazing. Let me clarify. Olivia's dog woke us up at 4 a.m. That was amazing.
Thank you, Olivia.
It was incredible. Did you ever get back to sleep or no? Did they come in the bedroom?
Uh-huh.
Both of them?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was wondering what was happening, and Zola was chewing on a Christmas ornament. I was like, what is that clicking sound?
Was it the Bills one?
No.
Because we gave that to her as a toy.
No.
I gave her that as a toy. It was amazing.
No, it was an angel. It was a little
angel. That's awful. It's Olivia's dog. It's incredible.
Oh, my,
gosh. I didn't know what to do. I was up. I'm like, all right, I'm not going back to sleep. I'm out on my rattle run. Let's pray. I'm like, I'll leave the door open a crack so they're not barking, and they were chewing on an angel. It's unbelievable.
I guess that tells you what kind of dog she is.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
Amazing.
But, you know, we worked hard on that tree. It's okay.
Oh, my goodness.
No worries. We're all good. We're just having fun.
It's the first I've really seen her since 4 a.m., so it's great to see you. Merry Christmas, baby. Come on.
Amen.
What do you got for me, man? Come on, girl. What do you got? Love you.
I just want to wish everyone a joyful Christmas with your families and your loved ones, and I just pray that you're all blessed. And we had a wedding yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a beautiful, godly wedding. The family of God, part of our family, Janessa and Colin Clock, got married.
Woo! Great.
And it was so beautiful. I mean, it was just so precious. The ceremony, God's presence was there. It was just such a blessing. And you know, it was just a fun reception with sparklers and just, you know, it was just snowy and it was perfect, you know. So they're away on their honeymoon now and we're just excited and just, you know, just so thankful for a godly couple and just seeing them, you know, become one. And it's a beautiful, beautiful sight. So, amen.
Amen, baby.
And I'm
going to
pray for you.
You pray for me. Come on, girl. Let's get it.
Amen. You ready?
I'm ready.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you that one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, Lord. We're so thankful that we can enter your gates with praise and thanksgiving, Lord. And we thank you that your mercy, Lord, and it's enduring, it's never ending, Lord, that you are so faithful. You're a faithful God in every season of our lives, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that as Sean preaches, Father, your spirit would be upon him, Lord, that you would fill him with your words, Father, that God, the good news that you have sent to us, Lord, would go forth with strength and power today, Lord. And that, God, you would just help those who hear this message online and who are here today, Father, that it would just spring forth new life in their hearts, Lord God, that it would encourage them and lift them up, Lord God, to be partakers and to carry this good news through all the earth, Lord God, and your great mission which you've given to us, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you for your word. It's alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we thank you that we get to hear it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Amen. Here we go. Hey, open up to Luke chapter 2. Come on, excited today. Thank you again for being here on this Christmas service. And we're just blessed. And I'm excited to get into this and just kind of go over this amazing Christmas story and kind of dig into it a little bit and see the reality of what this story really truly looks like. You know, not based on your nativity scene, not based on Hallmark, right? Based on a biblical narrative of what this story truly would look like. And listen, I got to give props to the Bills. Listen, if you're new to Believer's Chapel or you're watching online and you know that we are a Steeler nation, almost 99.99% of people here love the Steelers. So if you're a Bills fan, the few of you that you are, we give you props, man. You owned us last week. That's all there is to it, you know? Because if the Steelers won, I probably wouldn't even say anything. I mean, like, I probably would have just kept it quiet. Probably wouldn't have said anything if the Steelers would have won. But, You guys won, so I'll give you props. It was a great game, and that's all we can say. The Bills are for real. You crushed the Broncos last night. Yesterday afternoon, you destroyed them. The Bills are on the market, baby. Here we go. Come on. And, come on. We're excited about this Christmas season. We're excited about the celebration, even this week, and what it looks like for you and your house and the tradition that you would have and the Christmas Eve or the Christmas Day and whatever you do, man. Renee and I both are just praying for the people of this house and the people of this church that you would have really in the midst of the crazy 2020, you would honestly have a season that you would still yet celebrate Jesus. And it's not so much the Christmas tree and it's not so much the presents. Totally nice. Got one myself. But it's about Jesus. Don't ever let that slide in the midst of 2020. You see what I'm saying? Don't ever let the reality of why we actually celebrate Christmas. Love the Christmas tree. Love the presents. Love the celebration. Amazing. Love seeing joy on family faces. Love gathering with family. We're excited about that. But the reality is, even in the midst of a crazy season, the season of whom we celebrate during Christmas is truly unchanging. Come on, you look at this Christmas story. Like when you look at this Christmas story, there's nothing amazing about the story, right? When you read through this story, there's nothing really amazing about the story except for the miraculous. When you look at the reality of the setting, you look at the reality of the people and the characters. When you look at Hallmark and you look at some nativity scenes, and baby Jesus has this halo, like a little baby halo, and Mary and Joseph have this cute little halo around their head, and everybody's dressed so nice, and the barn looks like a Hilton, and it's just like, hold on, like, wait a minute. There's really nothing amazing about the Christmas story except the miraculous. And watch this, though. What happens when you miss the miraculous? What happens when we see that Jesus was the miracle and the miracle came to be in a manger, but how many were actually there to know the miracle or to see that? Like, a miracle is a big deal. When you understand miracle is a supernatural event that is a really huge, big deal for people. Like, when you understand, man, that was a miracle. When you really believe in a miracle, you believe in a big deal. And we believe that Jesus coming, being born of a virgin, there's a lot of miraculous to this story, but there's really nothing amazing about the characters. So what happens when nobody knew the miracle? What happens when this truly is one of the greatest events in the history of mankind? And then you have the one that was innocent put on a cross and gave up his own life. And that was one of the greatest moments in history. And then 3 days later, the grave shook and the rock shook and dead people were walking around. And there's Jesus raised from the dead. One of the greatest events in history. And it all surrounds one man. And yet nobody knew that he actually came. So what happens when you get into the story and you see the reality of you take a Mary and a Joseph. Mary's a young teenager, maybe 12 to 15 at best. Joseph, maybe mid-20s, maybe tipping 30 if he's lucky. And they have absolutely nothing. We know that they are impoverished, man. We know that they are in poverty. We know that they have absolutely nothing. They have no money. When they went to dedicate Jesus, they offered two pigeons, which was the lowest offering that you could give when you had no money. Two pigeons. Who shoots pigeons, right? I mean, they're a dirty bird. And that's what they had to offer. What? You're telling me that we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the King of Kings, we're talking about the creator of the universe, we're talking about the one who can move mountains, the one who slays giants, the one who can open up prison. We're talking about Jesus, the great creator, all-powerful, almighty Jesus, son of the living God, and he came to two people who couldn't have two dimes to rub together. This was his parents. And by the way, they lived in this little place called Nazareth. And Nazareth was a no place town. There's nothing good. The Bible says people were shocked. People were shocked when they heard the miracle worker came from where? Are you sure about that? Nazareth? How does he come from there? Because there's nothing good that comes from there. So what's so great about this story? What was the attention getter? God's plan to bring his son here on the very earth that Jesus actually created was to come through the most simple, not glorious, not huge celebration, not as if a king was truly born, not as if the creator of the heavens and the earth put himself in a manger, not as if there was this glorious, huge celebration and big announcement, Jesus has come. When you see in Isaiah 7:14, the Bible declares that a virgin will give birth. You see in Micah 5, you see the reality of that birth will come through in Bethlehem. And when you understand Old Testament prophecy again and again and again, prophesied this amazing event and nobody knew it. Wasn't this huge celebration? There wasn't moving lights. There wasn't a fog machine. Love our fog machine. But when you look at this amazing, incredible story, there's really nothing amazing about the story except the miraculous. Could you imagine Joseph coming to Mary and saying, honey, this is the deal. I know you're pregnant and I know you're very close. And by the way, Mary, you look beautiful. You're pregnant, but you're beautiful. I'm not saying you're big or anything. I'm just saying you're beautiful. And I know you're around nine. Like you're about that 9 month. Like we're on the edge of this thing. I get it. I know. But we gotta go from Nazareth. We gotta go to Bethlehem. Honey, I'm not going anywhere. Like, are you kidding me? Do you not see me? I see all of you, and you're beautiful, by the way. It's just you're amazing. You got to say that, man. When your wife is pregnant, she's always beautiful. Like, we get that. Wow, you're so big. Don't ever say that. You will get punched in the face. And you should. But could you imagine Joseph honestly going to Mary going, honey, we've got to go to Bethlehem. And they get on possibly a donkey. Could you imagine a pregnant woman? Women, I don't know what that means, but you who have children know that you're about 8 to 9 months pregnant and you're on a donkey. Good luck. Joseph, you're in trouble, dude. Well done. And you know that you got to go give a census because Caesar said it's time to tax up, man. Let's get a count. Let's get the taxes going. And we need you to come. And then when they get there, nothing. There's nothing amazing about this story. She's carrying the son of the living God. She's carrying God's own son. And they show up in Bethlehem. And there's no room at the inn. Are you kidding me right now, Joseph? Are you kidding me? Like, I loved it. If you were here for the case of the missing king, Miss Caitlin Miller, just unbelievable portrayal of Mary. And when the innkeeper just wouldn't open up the door, like she grabbed, like Caitlin was an all-star, man. She grabbed the innkeeper. It was an amazing scene. But you could imagine where Mary is understanding. She knew this amazing picture. She knew the very child that she was carrying would be the savior of the world. She knew that his name would be Jesus. She knew that she was the one prophesied 700 years before this in Isaiah that somehow, some way, this poor little young teenager was the one carrying the Son of God. And yet there's no room for you. Yeah, but you don't get it. Like, Caesar called everybody in. You're late. Joseph probably blamed Mary for being late. I don't know anything about that, but I'm just saying. You're late. There's no room for you. Except I can put you in a stall. What's that look like? It's a barn with animals. And you're going to have to make it do. You're going to have to make it work. Yeah, but what happens when you begin to understand there really was nothing special? And there was nothing eye-catching to anyone in Nazareth, to anyone in Bethlehem. Nothing caught their attention. And here Mary finds herself in a barn. Maybe it was Joseph who found a manger, which, biblically speaking, is a feeding trough. This is where the animals eat. Probably made out of a stone hue. Probably something that was hewed out from stone. Most likely it was a piece of stone that had a dip in it. And this is where the animals ate. This is the best we got for Jesus? God, this is the plan? We're a bunch of nobodies from nowhere. We're giving birth to your son in a barn. And all we have is to lay him in a feeding trough where animals eat. This is the story of Jesus? Until you see the miraculous. Until you see the miraculous. Come on, Luke chapter 2, please. And this is where we can get so excited, because you see where an angel shows up to Mary to kind of set the stage. Mary here now in Nazareth, and Mary knowing that I'm maybe like 12 to 15 at best, and I'm betrothed to this man named Joseph. My life is kind of set. I'm excited. He's cool. I like him. He's a carpenter. He's got a job. That's a plus. Don't marry a man who don't got a job. Anyways, that's a different time for coaching. Joseph isn't lazy. He works hard. I like him. And then all of a sudden, you see in Luke, and we'll pick it up right in verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, an angel Gabriel. I love this. The angel, when Gabriel showed up, like there's two good angels and one bad angel that has names, right? You got Gabriel and Michael. Michael was a warrior. When Michael showed up, there was going to be blood. Sweet. And when Gabriel showed up, there was a message. And we see Gabriel show up in Daniel. We see Gabriel showed up to Zechariah. We see Gabriel showed up to Mary. It was an angel of the Lord that showed up to Joseph. Probably not Gabriel, but an angel of the Lord. Maybe it was Gabriel, doesn't say. So we're going by three people that Gabriel actually showed up to deliver a message. Isn't it amazing that Mary is one of those chosen people? And here you've got this, and Mary's just doing her thing in a normal day, right? Come on, I love this story where there's so much that can happen in just a moment. There's so much that can take place in just a moment. When God shows up, he can show up in the moment. Listen, Mary was just doing her thing. Happy little Mary, young teenager, hanging out, understanding my betrothal, understanding, man, I'm with Joseph, man, I got my plan. What happens when you have your plan and God says, guess what? I'm going to change the plan. And Mary's just doing her thing. And then all of a sudden, come on, BC, I want us to understand that God, by his Spirit, can work in a moment and can change everything. He can change everything. Come on, I want you to see this. Verse 26, now in the sixth month, I believe that's speaking of Elizabeth and her pregnancy, which is a miraculous pregnancy. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, a no place, right? To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Engaged is betrothal. Betrothal is a little deeper than our simple engagement today, but that's a whole nother story. Watch this. a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Again, this is just a moment in an average, every ordinary day to an average, ordinary teenage girl. And then it happened. And the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." I love it. His name is Jesus. Watch what the angel says. Look what Gabriel says. "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Kind of a good question. What are you talking about? See, here's where the simple meets the miraculous. Please hear me, man. This is where your social status, you gotta know this. We can get so confused in this. Your social status is not a concern to God. When you see one of the greatest events in history, it is the simple that is met with the miraculous. God is not looking at your bank account. God is not looking at your social circle. God is not looking at your income. God is not looking at your job. God is not looking at the clothes that you are wearing. God sees a heart. Man, if you have been around the world on missions trip, you see people with nothing that God has blessed in doing an amazing work, and that they have nothing and they live in a shack, but their heart, like, listen, I've been in places where these people just live in a shack, and yet there is so much joy in that little place, and it is so clean, and it is so beautiful, and it is their place, and it is to God's glory, and it's amazing to see the joy that comes from this little place because they understand the heart of God, and they understand God's not looking at the bank account. God is looking, even in this instance where Mary, where he takes the simple and he joins it in a moment with the miraculous. One of the greatest events in the history of the world was brought in by this truly poor teenage girl. And she starts asking questions. "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Then the angel drops this on her. It's amazing. The angel answers and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold," he goes into Elizabeth, "and behold, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, who was called barren and now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." I love that. Right in this Christmas story, right in the story of Jesus Christ being born from the virgin, we get the understanding, the depth of how big our God is, the depth of how great our God is, where he says, nothing will be impossible for God. Hold on. I've never known a man, and I'm going to be pregnant. Man's mind is, that's impossible. And amazing that Gabriel says, hold on. With God, nothing is impossible. And when you understand this and you walk in this place to realize that there's nothing impossible for God, he takes the simple and he matches it with the miraculous, and nothing can be impossible with God. And once, watch this, I love Mary's response, because once she gathered all the information, once she took it upon her spirit, I love this, watch this. There it is, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And then she gets up, she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, and they just have a dance party, and they're pumped, and they're excited, and they're talking about pregnancy stories, and it's just an incredible, incredible scene. And then in this season, you see in Matthew, you see an angel of the Lord had to come to Joseph and say, "Hey, big fella, this is the deal. This is what's going down. Your wife is pregnant." "What?" "I'm crazy, I know, but she's not been with anybody. Right? She's a virgin." Isn't it amazing that God had this thing all worked out where he takes this carpenter who lives in Nazareth, a no place, a simple man, and says, "Listen, this is the deal. Your wife is pregnant. She didn't slip. She didn't miss. It's not sin." I need you to walk in a place to marry her and keep her pure until she gives birth. It's amazing to see, once again, the very simple attached to the miraculous. Like, what is it when you see these simple people just simply say yes to the Lord? "Yep, got it. Okay. Listen, she's probably going to get mocked and going to take some hits. All right, listen, I know the truth. I know the reality of this event. I know what's going to take place. I'm going to be okay with that." And you walk in this place. You see where now Joseph is on the team, right? Joseph is now in the understanding of what's taking place here. And you see this thing begin to develop in chapter 2. And we see the beginning of chapter 2, you've got Caesar Augustus, and this is a historical documented event that he calls for a census. It's the first census where they begin to take up some taxes. And we pick it up right in verse 4. It says this: "Joseph also went up from Galilee and from the city of Nazareth to Judah and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And they were there, and the days were complete for her to give birth." And watch this. "She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in clothes, laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them in the inn." Listen, I need to be careful here. I was in the room for all three of the deliveries. And I couldn't even imagine having my wife truly in a barn with this nice feeding trough right next to us, knowing that's where this baby's going to lie. And yet, here's the real story, right? This is the real story. There's nothing amazing about the story from those who don't know the miraculous. There was nothing amazing about the innkeeper who said, "No room for you." He didn't get it. At this point, the star hadn't showed up. Like the wise men, guess what? If they're in your manger scene, whoop. They didn't show up 2 weeks to 2 years later. Just so you know, like if you have wise men, I make so much fun with this because it's great. When I go into someone's house and there's wise men in the manger, I move them in about 20 feet away and say, "Hey, they're on the way, man. They're coming. They're not there yet, but they're coming." So there wasn't like the big star of Bethlehem over the main, like that wasn't now. There was nothing special about this amazing event. How many people missed the miracle? And you walk in a place. In verse 8, it says this: "In the same region, there are some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood," watch this, "suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Again, you take this amazing picture like a king was just born. The King of Kings, right? The King of eternity. The King of all nations was just born in Bethlehem in a barn laying in a manger. And here, this wasn't this huge, huge celebration. Listen, the announcement could have gone to the king to say a king was born. It's time to throw a party. It's time to celebrate. Where did the announcement go to? The lowest of the low. Shepherds were just dirty humans. Shepherds were thieves. Shepherds' reputations were terrible. Shepherd was the job that you had when you had no other job. That was the shepherds. Dirty humans. Bad reputation of humans. And an angel of the Lord shows up to this group of people. There's nothing special or amazing about the setup of the story. And watch their response. It's amazing. Verse 9, and the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory, here we go. We've got an angel showing up. That's amazing. That's miraculous where an angel shows up and you've got showing up at night and you've got the shepherds out at night and you've got this amazing, brilliant, bright light that shows up. Could you imagine the angels falling on their face in absolute terror? Like, could you imagine being a Gabriel or an angel and you got your buddies, right? And the angels are in heaven and they're like, oh, well, I'm going to show up. Watch what takes place. Like, I'm going to sneak up behind him and bang, there'll be a bright light. Like, could you imagine having fun as an angel, right? Showing up to the shepherds going, all right, pay attention. Watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to sneak up behind him and bang, there's going to be this bright. I want to see what happened. Like, I'm joking, but I don't know. But could you imagine if the angels had a sense of humor? Boy, that would be crazy. Could you imagine if angels had a sense of humor and how they could mess with us? I'm just saying. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the glory of the Lord is this illuminating, brilliant, shining light. I look at it as it's even blinding where this amazing light shows up and these shepherds are like, what is going on? And they're trying to be able to, have you ever been blinded by light and you're trying to be able to see what's on the other side of that light and you try to block the light? Well, this is a light that just couldn't be blocked because it was the glory of the Lord and it was this brilliant, illuminating, shining light and they're going, what is going on? And then all of a sudden, watch this, the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, here it is. I bring you good news of great joy. I love this. He says, listen, hey, guys, it's okay. I've got a message. And listen, again, this is just an average night. The shepherds are doing what shepherds do. Nothing brilliant, nothing amazing, nothing special. Just shepherds out with their sheep, like night after night after night after night after night. It's what they do. It's what their dad did. It's what their granddad did. It's what their great-granddad did. And they picked it up as a young child. And maybe you had a father with a son, and it's just what we do. It was just another night. It was just an average night where the shepherds are watching the sheep. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, the angel declares to these shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. Please hear this, church. The news has never changed. It is good news. And it should bring great joy. When you understand the message from the angel to the shepherds is the same message for us today. No matter what life looks like, no matter where we're at in life, it is the same message. I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you good news of great joy. Watch what takes place. Again, you take something that has nothing to it, something that is not amazing, and then it's attached to the miraculous. And in a moment, look what takes place. It's incredible. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Me and you today, the message is the same. It's good news. Jesus Christ came, put himself in a feeding trough, took that what was nothing, that which was simple, that which no one even knew about, that which they were told to go into the stable. Jesus came, put himself in a barn, put himself in a feeding trough, to be able to put himself on a cross, to be able to put himself in a grave so that the Father could raise him from the dead. And that, church, is the gospel, and that is the good news, and it should bring us great joy. This is what we celebrate today. The message hasn't changed, no matter what this season looks like, no matter what this year would ever have had for you, no matter what has taken place, inside COVID, outside COVID. It's not like, listen, please hear me. It's not like all tragedy stopped when COVID showed up. People go through struggles, man. People hurt. But even in this year, the message remains the same. It is good news. And it should bring us great joy. Come on, we look at this. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you. I love it. I love that the angel's like, listen, shepherds, you're the bottom feeders. You're the nobodies. You're the dirty humans. But in the city of David today, born for the higher class, born for those who've got it all, born for the upper, no, born for you. I love the message of this. Now listen, for God so loved the world, red, yellow, black, brown, and white, from baby to adult to extra innings, every nation, every tongue, every class, every race, for God so loved the world. And I love the message inside the message. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter what your bank account is. Know this, God loves you, whether you've got it all or you've got nothing. I love the message. For today, born for you. Could you imagine the shepherds never hearing anything or seeing anything like this before? Us? No one. If anyone looks at us, it's a dirty look. It's nothing like this. What's happening right now? What is actually going on? What happens when in a moment the nothing amazing matches with the miraculous and you see God begin to do a work? And he takes that which is simple and that which is nothing and turns it into the miraculous. And yet still even now, nobody's present. Nobody knows. You've got Joseph and Mary, maybe a couple others, surrounding the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings. And nobody knows. But a peasant girl and a peasant man and the teenage girl and this, where they're excited about their life together. And then, could you imagine what they thought when the shepherd showed up? Maybe they actually thought, well, that's fitting that the message would first be pronounced to the lowest. And when you know, come on, man, when you know God loves you, God loves you. He doesn't love your bank account. He loves you. No matter where you're at, he loves you. And we see this amazing celebration that took place with the shepherds. Verse 12 says this, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a feeding trough." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. A host actually means an army of angels. Could you imagine where these shepherds, at first there was this bright light, one angel shows up. Then all of a sudden, a whole army of angels appeared. This is amazing. Again, the simple and the not amazing attached to the miraculous. And here, this is what's taking place. This is what's happening. And suddenly, I love it. All of a sudden, I love it when God moves and all of a sudden. I love in my life when God shows up in an instant, where God moves and all of a sudden. I've been praying for it. I've been looking for it. I've been waiting. Not sure if it's going to happen. God, you open doors. God, you close doors. I trust in you in all things. And then all of a sudden, it happens. And I love that suddenly, a host, an army of angels appear. And they begin praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And the angels, they have this incredible celebration. And then the angels leave, and then the shepherds say, we got to go. We got to go find the baby. We got to go find this manger, this feeding trough, this stable. And they show up. And they find Joseph and Mary. And the Bible indicates maybe there was a couple others. And they begin to tell Mary and Joseph everything that took place. Coming, watch this, coming from the shepherds. Do we believe them? They're known to lie. They don't have a good reputation. But the Bible says that Mary pondered. It sunk into her spirit, and Mary began to think through it and began to think through it and began to think through it, and things just began to line up. If God could use me, a young teenage girl who's got nothing, if God could use a barn and a feeding trough, then God could use some shepherds. Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. And we're going to sing, and we're going to be reminded again today that the message is the same. It is good news that brings you great joy. If you could please just take a minute. I need everyone just to bow their heads. We've got people coming on both sides to be able to light our candles. But I want to pray first, because we're going to sing and we're just going to celebrate. But I want to ask you, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Not asking for your checkbook. I'm not asking for your status. I'm not asking if you wear a tie. I'm not asking what you drive. I'm saying, do you know Jesus? That God Almighty, He loves you. He sent Jesus in a feeding trough for you, to put Himself on a cross for you, to put Himself in the grave for you, to raise Him from the dead for you. And then 40 days later, Jesus would ascend to the heavens. How and why? For you, by the power of God, so that you would come into a relationship with Him. Man, as they are lighting these candles, man, I love this. Please light your candles and you would come to this place. Do you know Christ as Savior? Not by church, not by religion, not by your family, not by your giving. I'm asking you personally, at every age, no matter where you're at in this place, do you know Jesus? Not because you come to BC, not because you went to church somewhere, not because you grew up in a system. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Him based on His terms, His love for you? That in this moment, you can come to a place to say, I repent from my sin. And I believe in Jesus. I love it where the angel said, His name will be Jesus. His name will be Emmanuel. His name is God with us. His name is Savior. His name is Jesus. Have you called on the name of Jesus today? Come to this place. Man, I beg you, come to this place to call on Jesus. If you don't know Christ, this is the day of salvation. If you don't know Christ, this is the moment. This is the moment that you understand Jesus came in a manger, put Himself on a cross, and in putting Himself on a cross, His blood was shed as a sacrifice for my sin. And in this moment, I confess that He is Lord. And I call on the one name that can save. And I call on Jesus. Father, we commit this time to You. We're amazed by You. Lord, if there's anyone in this room right now, I'm asking by Your Spirit, You would lead them to You. Man, if you don't know Christ, I'm asking you, please come to a place in this moment to say, Jesus, I need You. I'm not looking at anybody around me. I'm not looking at anything else in my life. I'm not looking at my past. I'm not looking at being good enough or bad enough. I'm looking to you. Jesus, you put yourself on a cross for me to sacrifice yourself for my sins. And in that, I say, I need you, Jesus. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I confess that you are Lord. I know that you are alive today. And I come to this place to repent and turn from my sin. And I turn to follow you. And I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, come on, amen? Come on, let's sing and give glory to God. He is the light of the world. Come on, amen?